May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one whom we follow, the one we worship and adore this holy day. Amen. Our text today for our consideration is the Gospel, Mark 1, where Jesus calls Peter, James, and John and Andrew to be His disciples, His followers. Our topic is following Jesus. Just what does that entail? Let us pray. Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit upon the church today. May the Spirit open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds that we gladly receive your word. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. You ever heard that expression? Some businesses use that as their motto, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Some sports teams have that as an expression. Some churches may have that as their expression. It seems in a way to kind of fit the gospel lesson in Mark 1. You have someone who leads. He's the perfect leader, the leader of leaders. His name is Jesus. He's the leader. The Son of God has come. He is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and He is our leader. And you have followers. Peter, James, John, Andrew. They follow. They leave their nets immediately. They go follow. Then you have those that get out of the way. Zebedee gets out of the way. The hired servants get out of the way. Anybody else gets out of the way that they may follow Jesus. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. The Son of God here wants followers, and now you must go. Get out of the way if you're not going to go, because I'm going to go. I want to talk about following Christ today. Again, He's the leader. We don't need a new leader in the church. He's the leader, perfect and pure, who leads us to heaven, and we are the followers. Jesus, after all, says, follow me. He doesn't say, you take the lead and I'll follow you and I'll go where you want to go. That would end up in disaster. Nor does Jesus say, come walk beside me and we'll figure out where we're going to go. No, it's no equal partnership here. That would end in disaster if He ever listened to our advice about where to go. Rather, follow me. I'm your leader. I know where I'm going. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to come out of a tomb. I'm going to take you to heaven. I'm going to conquer sin, death, and hell. You got to get behind me and follow me. Humble yourself. Four things about following Jesus. You want to follow Jesus? You're a follower? You actually say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Four things I note about following Christ. First of all, we note in this gospel that followers are found by Jesus. Followers don't find Jesus if He's lost somewhere, but rather followers are found by Jesus. Note in the text how Jesus, the Son of God, He is the one making the effort. He makes the effort to call Peter, Andrew, James, and John right where they are. He travels. He makes the effort. He goes to them. They're fishing right in the middle of their workday. Right when they're right there on the sea working with their nets and everything, He goes right to them, right on the spot. They don't come to Him. He goes to them. This is the good shepherd seeking four lost sheep. He makes every effort out of love and grace. He wants disciples and wants followers. He finds them, they don't find Him. He doesn't say, meet me halfway. Because they wouldn't meet Him halfway. They're too busy working. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to be here, and if you want to come, you've got to come meet me. You've got to come to me if you're going to come to me. I'm the Son of God. I'm going to sit here. You come to me. After all, I'm more important than you are. That's not our God. He could say that, but He doesn't. Rather, He seeks and finds the lost. And note again the simple words, follow me. No conditions. He doesn't say, Peter and Andrew, James and John, you guys stink. You're fishermen. You smell bad. You're dirty. Now go get cleaned up and then you can come follow. No, we all know that we can't clean ourselves up from anything, let alone sin. He must do the cleaning. He must take us as we are. Nor does He say, Peter, Andrew, James and John, go make a sacrifice in the temple. Go sacrifice something and then come follow me. Jesus will be their sacrifice for sin when they go to the cross 3 years later and He dies for them. The Lord doesn't say, now you guys go home and get your resume. I want to see your resume, your list of all the good things you've done. Let's see if you're qualified to follow me, the Son of God, or whether you're not. No one's qualified. We're only qualified by His good works. And His resume is what qualifies us for anything. It is pure grace, pure mercy, the call of the Good Shepherd for 4 lost sheep. And I want you to note how He does it. He does it with a simple word, follow me, and He does it while they are on water. Water and word. What does that remind you of, congregation? Water and word. What's it remind you of? Baptism. We have a great picture of holy baptism right here. The word of God coming, calling men from water. Now you're mine. Little Caleb and Cameron were called by their God today. The good shepherd came to them. They couldn't go to him. He came down to them in the water and the word and redeemed them and saved them, washed them, cleansed them, made them his own, and we praise God for it. The good shepherd finding 2 lost children and saying, no longer you lost, you're mine, you belong to me, you're forgiven, and you're going to be in heaven with me. You know, when I was a little boy, I think I was kindergarten, first grade, I was kind of an ornery little boy. I know that's hard for you to imagine, but just imagine it for a moment. And I remember my mom sent me to vacation Bible school at a church up the hill, about 2/10 of a mile away up the hill. She wanted to get me out of the house, I think, go to vacation Bible school, Paul. And a little girl that lived a couple doors down, her name was Pam Scott, she went to VBS also, about my age, kindergarten, first grade. And my mom and Pam's mom had this brilliant idea that I would walk her home from VBS every day. We'd walk down the hill together, hold hands and sing Merry Little Tunes, and we'd walk back together and I'd see her at her house. Brilliant idea, right? Wrong, Mom. I'm Paul Buescher. I have a reputation, and my reputation in kindergarten was I didn't like girls. I wasn't going to hang around girls. What would my 3 older brothers say? Come on, they'd torment me. And all the other boys in the neighborhood, you're walking with Pam, ha, ha, ha. So I had a brilliant idea. I told Pam, let's run down the hill. Knowing at that time I was faster than her, I know that's hard to imagine too, but we ran down the hill and there was great separation. You know, I was like that Bolt guy. I was running down the hill, bye Pam, and Pam, sadly, she fell over and skinned her knee and her elbow, and I got in big trouble for that one. But in other words, follow me, but keep your distance. I don't want to be seen with you. Keep your distance because I have a reputation to uphold. Ornery little boy. Praise be the Lord. He doesn't say, follow me, but keep your distance, fellas. I have a reputation to uphold. Stay away. Stay in the background. When he says, follow me, means come close. 3 years, 24/7, be close to me, the Son of God. I link my reputation with yours. I'm the friend of sinners. Stay close and behold the salvation of God. This is grace. 2, followers are fast. Followers are fast to follow. They're quick. They're eager. Again, what stands out in this simple little gospel is the word immediately. You have the word immediately twice here in Mark 1. And the word actually appears, I think, 40 times. Immediately appears 40 times in 16 chapters of Mark's gospel. It teaches us the urgency of the gospel. Christ has come to save people. He's not monkeying around. He doesn't have other things to do. He's here to deliver mankind. If you're going to follow, don't monkey around. Don't put it off. This is the Son of God. There's nothing more important than the Son of God, folks. Your TV, your job, whatever's not more important than the Son of God. Get with the picture. And so they immediately leave everything. They didn't take 5 seconds. Just leave mom, dad, whoever, the boat, the fish. We're going to follow Jesus. And the credit here should not go to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, as if they have some special faith that I don't have to leave everything and follow Jesus. The credit goes to Jesus. This illustrates the great magnet that Jesus is. The power of his word, follow me. 2 words can draw 4 men from their jobs to come follow and lay down their lives for him. This is the power of the Son of God. In him is salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. It's a no-brainer. For Peter, Andrew, James, and John. This is simple. It's a no-brainer. Of course we're going to follow Jesus. He's that much of a draw. He's our treasure. You see, they would rather have Jesus than a job. How about you? What's really more important to you? Jesus or your job? I'm not saying jobs aren't important, but they're nothing compared to Jesus. They'd rather have mercy and a mansion in heaven than have money. What's really more important to you is the question. They would rather have salvation than have the Sea of Galilee in front of them. They'd rather have the forgiveness of sins and to live forever rather than have all the fish in the sea in their boat. They'd rather have forgiveness for all their sins and to live forever. This is a no-brainer. Of course I'm going to leave everything and follow Jesus. This is my chance. And they are fast to follow. Where is this urgency of people today? This is the burden that pastors I know have. Where is the urgency of God's people? Where's the immediacy to all this? Do we care anymore about the Son of God? I pray we do. May the Holy Spirit give us this kind of urgency of what's really important in life. What's really important? Third point. I wanted to say something else about the second point. I'm going to check my notes here and see what I wanted to say. Oh, yes. To my point, Matt, I mentioned this to you last night. Have you heard of Dr. Oz? Who's Dr. Oz? He's the medical doctor on TV. And I was mentioning to Matt Lundin, he's a doctor in our church. He works with sleep. And I heard on the Today Show this week where Dr. Oz was on there, and he was talking about the most overlooked problem health-wise in America. It's the most overlooked health problem in America, he says. You know what it is? Lack of sleep. People aren't getting enough sleep. They're exhausted, and it causes high blood pressure, heart problems, because we have a lack of sleep. He gave suggestions on how to cure that. And I disagree with Dr. Oz. I think in the church we get plenty of sleep, if you know what I mean. He may say, get more sleep, and I'm here to say, wake up, church! You slept long enough. We got enough apathy and laziness in our hearts. May God forgive it all. And Holy Spirit, root it out of my heart that I wake up in life and realize what's really important. What am I doing? What are my kids doing? What's it really all about? Wake up. We get plenty of sleep. Don't put it off. Be fast to hear the Word of God. It's the Word of God after all. There's nothing more important. No excuses. Be fast to worship your God, to commune with your God, to pray to your God, to love your neighbor, to be a fisher of men. Be fast to follow your Lord. He takes you to heaven. Don't wait around any longer. Don't put it off. And no excuses, please. Thirdly, followers fish and they fish and they fish. Right after he calls them, follow me, which means forgiveness and grace. Then he has work for them to do, and I will make you fishers of men. The follower is not a spectator who just sits and does nothing and lets somebody else do it all. There is work to do, fishing for men, the salvation of the world. And we all know that fishing back in that day was hard work. You had to get all your equipment together. You know, you had to get all that together on your boat and then go out. The fish didn't come to you. You had to go out to the fish. Then there was teamwork involved. You had to throw the net over, which required teamwork, working together. And then you had to have patience, of course, because you didn't always catch fish. You had to throw it over again, and be patient. That's fishing. It was your life, if you're a fisherman. And so catching lost souls is hard work. It just simply is. It's our lives as Christians, though. It means, number one, that we got to get out among the unbelievers. We got to go out to the world. That's why we have jobs. That's why we're in our neighborhoods, why we go places. We got to get out among the lost souls out there. One of our problems is that a lot of us, our friends are all Christians already. Can you think of one friend you have that's not a Christian? It's good to have Christian friends. We want that. But we got to be out among the unbelievers and talk to them, love them, care for them. Let them know we're here. Let them know we care about them. We got to go out. And we got to work together. Pray for each other. Throw the net out together, which means love people. Bear burdens out there together. One person can't do all this. Pastor, evangelist, can't do all this. This is everybody. We're working together in prayer and support to save the lost. And we're patient people. We realize that we often don't catch fish. Jonah in the Old Testament lesson caught a whole city, Nineveh. Wonderful. Peter at Pentecost caught 3,000 people, were baptized. But we all know Elijah of the Old Testament didn't seem to catch anybody. He didn't think he caught anybody. He goes off in a cave crying, "Just kill me, Lord, because I haven't done anything for you." Sometimes you're depressed like that. Stephen gets murdered, stoned in the New Testament. He doesn't catch anybody. Why does Peter get 3,000 and I don't get anybody? You keep fishing. I went and saw Les Miserables, last weekend? Anybody see Les Miserables? Wonderful, very Christian-centered play or musical. And I like that play. And I read in the notes on that that the man who played Jean Valjean, that he had played that part over 2,900 times. He had been Jean Valjean in over 2,900 performances. Wow! And yet, Ann and I sat really close. We were like five rows from the front. And you could see his facial expressions. You could see him. It's as if he was doing it the first time. There's that kind of sincerity in being Jean Valjean. And the man had done it 2,900 times. And yet, sincerity. I realize he's an actor. He's faking it. He's an actor. I realize all that. But I think he's happy being Jean Valjean. There's nothing else he'd rather do. Are you happy being a Christian? We're not fakes here. We're not actors. We're Christians. You realize that? You're baptized. You believe you're a Christian. You bear the name of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. The children of God, redeemed and saved and forgiven. We're saints. That's who we are. Not no faking here and none of that. That's who we are. Do we show people that's who we are? Joy and peace ought to flow from the Christian. Our faith ever evident in all that we say and do. That's a Christian. They love Jesus. And they know Jesus loves them. That's how you catch fish. That's how you catch fish. So the most important part of catching fish is, first of all, being caught. Here Jesus catches Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and they are caught men. They know the love of their God, and nothing will stop them after they learn it all. You've been caught. Cameron and Caleb have been caught. We know the love of God. May that love compel us to ever show the world who we are. We bear the name of Jesus Christ. Last of all, followers, and most important of all, are forgiven, and followers live forever. Let me repeat that. Followers are forgiven, and followers live forever. Now, to make sure you have this down, I'm going to say followers are forgiven, and you're going to say followers live forever. A little responsive reading in the sermon. Followers are forgiven. Did you get it? This is the key thing of everything. Followers are forgiven. Very good. Peter, James, and John sin and they fail miserably. Peter denies him three times, is often a numbskull in the ministry. You know that. And James and John are called the sons of thunder. They actually want to call down fire on a Samaritan city. They want to kill a bunch of people because they have such a bad temper. And they all desert Christ when he dies. They're failures. They sin. And yet Jesus forgives them. He never fires them. He doesn't kick them out and say, "I'm going to get new guys to follow me." He forgives and forgives and is compassionate and loving. That's Jesus. And where does Jesus take them? He says, "Follow me." Where do they end up going? They end up going to a cross where he sheds his blood for their sins and your sins, the sins of the world. And they come to the empty tomb and they see he's alive. And he says to them, "Peace be with you," in the room, Easter evening. And then he takes them to heaven. Where are Peter, Andrew, James, and John now? They're in heaven. They're in glory. And that's the bottom line. We're bottom line people, a lot of us. What's the bottom line here? The bottom line is this. If you have faith in Christ, you follow Christ, you are forgiven of your sins, and you will live forever, and that's the bottom line. Who wants to follow Jesus? Praise be to God. How many of you, final question. How many of you believe that I made it to Washington, D.C. for the spelling bee when I was in eighth grade? We got like two people, Pastor. You're smart people, very wise. You know, we had a spelling bee here this week on Wednesday, and Pastor Roberts gave an excellent little chapel message using spiritual words for spelling bee. And so I was sitting near Mrs. Hoffman and Miss Rogers and Miss Kloss as he was doing chapel. And I turned to them and I said, you know, I only made it to Washington, D.C. when I was a kid, but I didn't win the whole thing. And Mrs. Hoffman laughs. Miss Kloss laughs. Ha, ha, ha. And nice Miss Rogers say, oh, really, Pastor? You got to Washington, D.C.? Congratulations. And what do we all have to say to her? Don't believe everything Pastor Buescher tells you, okay? You should know that, Aaron. You've been here, what, 2-3 years? You know, I like to tease and joke around. But when I stand in the pulpit, there's no teasing. And I say to you, your sins are forgiven. Believe that. Because that's the Word of God. And you have eternal life through Jesus. Believe that. That's not my word. That's the very Word of God. And I just have the privilege to open my mouth and say it. And I say to you, you're loved by God every day. He's your refuge, your strength. He's your peace. Through the trials of life, He is with you and cares for you. Believe that. It's true. It's the Word of God. Believe that when the pastor says that. Let us follow Jesus. He's the leader. We're the followers. Followers are found. Followers are fast. Followers fish. And followers are forgiven and they live forever. Let us follow Jesus, our leader. Amen. We stand to sing the final two stanzas of 688, stanzas 4 and 5. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us sing.